Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Yes.
Did Cedric Alexander have any role in the selection process at all?
Cedric sort of advised us, but I don't think he sort of talked to us about just kind of what we were looking at and understanding what the dynamics were in the world of Chiefs, and he kind of helped put us in touch with Gary. But other than that, I don't know anything that Cedric specifically had.
So Cedric Alexander's been working at the Pensacola Police Department for a couple of years now, I think. Came in to do unintentional bias training, and he's got a national profile. He was involved in one of the national reports on policing reform with the Obama administration. I've known him. I don't know Cedric all that well. I mean, I've talked to him, a bunch of times, but I don't want to pretend that I'm, best friends with him or anything like that. Always seemed like a pretty straightforward guy to me, knew what he was talking about. He, of course, was the kind of the liaison with the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. So he was kind of shepherding that whole process. Essentially, he wasn't running it. It was their board. But, he was the one that was kind of the liaison from the government, city government. And, this is one of the there's been a lot of speculation about this PPD chief search that tonight we've got this forum where we're going to get to meet these three candidates or at least, hear from them. Like, we won't get to meet them because it's a virtual thing. But if you had questions, you could have submitted them before. And we'll get to, see how well they perform. They came out of the process was that we put out a request for candidates. And then we hired this Gary Peterson to go be a headhunter, to go oversee the process, to vet the candidates, and then also go look for people, which apparently he did. And I was kind of asking about this on Monday.
So he is talking with them, but from his standpoint, my understanding is he introduced us to Gary. I mean, that came from his, he had known Gary, who we ended up hiring to do the search.
Okay. So Cedric Alexander knew Gary Peterson. And maybe that's part of the reason why Gary Peterson was the one who was doing this nationwide search. When of course, Kevin Crispin, who is the acting interim and formerly had won the nationwide competition to be the deputy chief, or assistant chief. I always forget which one it is. It was one before and now it's the other one. Doesn't matter. But he's been acting as it. And a lot of us who know Kevin and believe in him, and certainly former Chiefs Tommy Leiter and Chip Simmons believe heavily that he should be the chief. And so there's been kind of this long process developing, and people are frustrated that Kevin's not on the finalist list. They cut down to nine, and then they've got the three, and the three are all from out of town. One's from Minneapolis, one's from Newport News, one's from New Mexico. And those are the ones that we're going to get to see tonight. So the question was just, I've been trying to get a good picture of how this process happened. Because what I would love? Can I just tell you this? I know Kevin really well. I want Kevin to have the job. I've made no bones about that. There's a lot of people who want Kevin to have the job, from the FOP to fraternal order police to other people. But you know what? I always prefer an outcome where I can say that everybody's trying to do the right thing. I don't like to have to come to outcomes where these people are doing something nefarious. And so what I'm hoping is the more I ask questions and probe into this, I'm hoping to find out, this process was completely fair. Nobody had their thumb on the scale. Nobody was guiding it in a certain direction. The three candidates that we're going to look at tonight really are the best. They really are the best, at least on paper and by interview. And that's why you do this process this way. And I hope for in the end, whoever we hire, that PPD is better than it was. And it's great now, 2 years from now, that people don't leave the agency, that everything's good. Regardless of who's hired. That's what I hope for. I want the city to be good. And I want everybody to be good, honest players in the process. My concern is, I am still not 100% convinced that that's all true. I'll just be honest. I'm so conflicted on this. Because I think there are some people, there certainly are some people who want to see a change at the top of PPD because they think that PPD is failing to include minorities, reach out to minority community, have black officers, all of that kind of bag of stuff that was bubbling up during the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. Okay. And they think the only way to do that is to get somebody outside the organization to come in. And then there's people in my camp who think that the organization runs really well. It's like the jewel of Northwest Florida. There's no problem there. It's hard to get minority candidates to apply to be cops because everybody's having that trouble. And it's harder now than it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, because everything post-Ferguson has made it that much harder. So it's nobody's to blame. It's just hard to get black people to apply to be cops, period. Okay, so, and we think Chrisman is qualified, certainly eligible. The mayor has said he's certainly eligible and qualified and would be good to run it, but they think they found other people who are better. Okay, of course, the fear is, why are we changing something that's working really well? Okay, and I keep probing on these questions, and like, for example, did somebody, whether it's Cedric or whether it's Gary or whether it's whomever, did somebody go out of their way to recruit any of these particular people? You know, was there an effort to get Booker Hodges from Minnesota? Was there an effort to get him to come here? Was there an effort to get John Ortolano from New Mexico? You know, was there an effort to get Eric Randall from Newport News? Was there an effort? I don't know. I hope not, because I know the people who are on the selection committee. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think they are people of integrity. I know two of them really well. I know one of them fairly well. And I think they're the kind of people that not only would try to do their best and be honest, I think they're the kind of people that if they were told, hey, go through this process but get this result, they wouldn't have been on the committee. I think they're those kind of people. So that's that sigh, that's really where I'm at. You know, I'm genuinely worried that if we hire anybody from the outside, people are going to leave the force and go to the county, which, again, I can't hate that because I want good people at the county, too. But I want PPD to not be something other. You know, I'm worried that if we bring in a so-called reformer, that, you know, maybe the reforms don't work and maybe the police resent it. And right now it's real easy to find a job as a cop. And I will say this, if it turns out that somebody else is really, really good and maybe we miss an opportunity by not hiring outside, I don't want that to be true either, but how would we ever know? So it's just frustrating. And I know the people in PPD are frustrated, and I know community folks are frustrated. I've gotten so many calls from people like, Andrew, what is going on with all of this? And I try to explain it to the best of my ability. And to me, here's what it all comes down to this. We should not have done this nationwide search. And I have said that from the beginning. It never made sense in the beginning. It was a bad decision in the beginning. But once you do the nationwide search and you hire a headhunter to go find the people they think are the best qualified, well, you may find people. You know? And we've found people. The question is whether they're better. But once you're committed to doing that search, you're going down a road where you might end up in a place you don't want to be. So genuinely from my heart, my summary of this whole thing is, it's frustrating. So we're going to talk to the mayor in about a half hour, and we'll kind of see where we're at. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And going to the front gate of NAS Pensacola, we are seeing no delays there. Traveling northbound across Garson Point Bridge appears to be moving at a slow but consistent pace. It's going to remain that way until you get through the light at the intersection of Avalon and Garson, but then once you're north of that, flowing smoothly. Southbound flowing smoothly all the way to Gulf Breeze. And then also taking a look at eastbound Gulf Breeze Parkway, seeing some minor delays, and then I-10, I-110 checking in clear. And this report's brought to you by the ECUA Recycle Coach app. It's here, and it's free, and it includes recycling do's and don'ts, collection reminders, report a problem, and so much more. You can download it today, and again, it's free. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So when you get to buying a car to replace the car you've got, right? I mean, you know the car you got, if it's you, is getting to that phase where you're thinking about it. Well, if you're thinking about it, it's time to go shopping. Not because you need to make a decision today, but because you get to figure out what the terrain is, figure out what your options are, and then make a decision, not necessarily today, but when the time comes, right? You want to know what kind of car you want to buy, and then you can just be looking for the deal, the right make, the right model, the right, you know, color, whatever it is that you prefer. instead of being under pressure to make a decision right now to replace a car that has to be replaced because it's broken, okay? So you go to Frontier Motors. Now, if you want to go to other places, go to other places. No problem. I will put Frontier up against anybody else based on their inventory, their service, their pricing, all of that stuff. But the point is just include them in your list now because they have so many different ones to choose from. You can just try some things and tell them. Say, Andrew said I can come here and try some cars. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, they want to be a resource. So if you're getting to that point in your relationship with your car, check out Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Starting today, if you're fully vaccinated and you're outdoors, you need, and not in a big crowd, you no longer need to wear a mask. I want to be absolutely clear. If you're in a crowd, like a stadium or at a conference or a concert, you still need to wear a mask, even if you're outside.
Conference, concert. Conference would be good for you. Little Caddyshack reference for you there. President Biden did a presentation yesterday about these new mask guidelines coming out of the CDC that basically tell you to do what you were already doing if you've been vaccinated. It's just the CDC is so behind human behavior, unfortunately. They should be the leaders, you know, and we should respect them and trust them and look to them and say that's what we should do. And yet it seems like every step of the way, at least for Florida, they've been kind of like, hey, yeah, you know that thing you're already doing? That was right. Go ahead. Thanks. Not the best advice. But things got super weird in this press conference because it wasn't a press conference. It was a presentation. And then he started to walk away back to the White House. And the reporters got him to go back to the podium and answer a couple of questions.
If the risk is so low outdoors, why doesn't this new guidance apply to everybody?
Because the science indicates that the most certain way to make sure it doesn't spread if both people have been vaccinated, the people you're with, and you're outside.
I mean, okay, yes, true, but how much of a difference does the outside make? That's kind of the question that he's getting at.
And you chose to wear a mask, sir. You chose to wear a mask. You chose to wear a mask as you walked out here. What message were you sending by wearing a mask outside alone?
By watching me take it off and not put it back on till I get inside.
I don't like these questions very much. Stop it.
India, they're suffering at
what
this moment.
What do you
moment.
Say to the folks in India? Well,
I'm sorry. This is the last question I'll take, and I'm really going to be in trouble.
I'm going to be in trouble for taking questions. My handlers are going to be angry at me for taking these questions, or I'm going to say something dumb.
With regard to India, I spoke at length with Modi, the Prime Minister. We are sending immediately a whole series of help that he needs, including providing for those remdesivir and other drugs that are able to deal with this and prevent, in some cases, but help recovery.
Prevent? You got a drug that prevents COVID? That's news. He doesn't. He just misspoke. 7:24 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Of course, his speech tonight, the address to the joint session Congress will be on News Radio at 8 o'clock our time. So looking forward to that tonight. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
A North Carolina judge could decide today on whether to release video of a deadly police shooting. Hearing scheduled amid pressure to show the body cam footage of Andrew Brown Jr. shot 5 times in his car trying to flee deputies serving a search warrant. The president, hours away from unveiling the final piece of his plan to reshape the economy, giving his first major speech to Congress tonight, focusing on a package to offer free universal preschool, free community college, and create paid family leave. We'll have live coverage at 8 o'clock tonight. In California...
Hello, boys! I'm back!
Actor Randy Quaid says he's seriously considering a run for governor. He took to Twitter claiming prosecutorial corruption was rampant in the state and he could clean it up if he's elected. A recall election against Governor Gavin Newsom could happen later this year.
So that's 2 Republican celebrities now.
Yep.
I mean, Caitlin, formerly Bruce Jenner, Republican, getting Republican strategic advice, and Randy Quaid. Doesn't he live like in Canada or on the East Coast somewhere? I don't think he really lives in California.
Don't you have to be a California resident?
I don't know.
It's California.
I don't know. Why would they discriminate against people and who can be governor like that? I mean, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 726 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
You're going northbound on Garcon Point Bridge. Starting to look a little slow moving, trying to get through the toll plaza. That's stretching all the way back into Gulf Breeze, and Gulf Breeze Parkway showing eastbound delays, backing up around the Center for Site facility. Once you get north of that light at Avalon and Garcon, does check in clear the rest of the way towards I-10, but we are now starting to see some southbound delays. Southbound going towards I-10 on Avalon is backed up to Del Monte Street, and we're also seeing some delays backing up on southbound as you're trying to head to Garcon Point Road. They're minor delays, though. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, but Highway 29 starting to show some minor delays between 9 Mile and I-10, but the front gate of NAS Pensacola flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So if you build stuff, like if you build stuff for a living, Pensacola Hardware. And I don't just say that because they've been around for 170 years, which is true. Like, the county is only 200 years old. They've been around for 170 years. So if you look around, the stuff that exists today, they had a hand in that. I mean, really, that's the point. But because they do things just a little bit different from other places. For example, if you need a thing, when do you need it? Well, you need it now. When do they have it? Now, because they stock it all. I mean, they have been around long enough to know what things you're going to need. And if they don't have it, you don't need it. So if you're a builder and you need it now, they have it now. Plus, you don't even have to go get it. You just call them and tell them, bring it to the job site. They'll do that. Instead of sending one of your guys with a credit card and hoping he gets the right thing, they'll ship it to your job site and they'll put you on a monthly bill if you want. My point is, they think about it from your point of view. They know how to solve the problem. They typically know the inspectors. They certainly know the codes. They know how to do it. They're an expert resource for you if you build stuff for a living. Now, whether you do it professionally or whether you're just a, you know, a honeydew type person or a home fixer, whatever the case may be, Pensacola Hardware is there for you, serving the Pensacola community for more than 170 years right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. ...729 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I mean, I don't even know if I want to share this story. It was in the news yesterday. The Centner Academy in Miami. This is like, if you want to be discouraged about human beings, this is your story. You ready for this? This so-called school, so-called school, says it won't employ anyone who has received a vaccine. Because they say the evidence shows that if I hate to say this out loud because somebody's going to hear it and think this is real. They think that people are having miscarriages because they stand next to vaccinated people. Oh, my God. Oh, just like we're trying to have a civilization here, people. And you have this nonsense. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Mark Jacobs, what do you have coming up, sir?
Continued calls for firing the Santa Rosa County Administrator. The story after Fox.
I agree with all of what they've said, which is why we substituted the House bill yesterday. I want to clarify, this does not prohibit local municipalities from providing incentives anymore. We got rid of that. That no longer, it was true in the earlier Senate bill, but the bill we're contemplating today still allows local preferences.
So this is a bill that's gotten not a lot of attention, but Commissioner Underhill had brought up in the county commission meeting, and the basic gist of it was they were going to make it so you couldn't receive state funding for projects in which you'd use a majority of state funding to do the project if you had any kind of a local preference as a requirement for the work being done. And since, you know, Escambia, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, everybody's on board with this kind of covenant with the community concept, this looked like a problem. Well, they've changed it now so that you just can't prohibit out-of-town folks from applying here, and otherwise you can still have a local preference. Since the mayor, Grover Robinson, is always irked, I would say is an accurate description of his attitude towards preemption bills in the legislature, I have to assume he's happy with this development. Am I right, Mr. Mayor?
No, I am. Andrew, I am trying to prepare for your mysterious ways as we enter, listen to the music coming in. So, yes, I was wondering where this is going because I had not been thinking about this bill. But, yes, you know me. I am not a big fan of preemption. You know, I've spent my whole public life in local office, and I feel like local government has rules, they have a charter, they have all this power they derive from the state constitution. Why would the legislature go and take it away
Why would we want to run all of our cities and counties from Tallahassee? It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
Andrew Jackson was smart enough to figure that out in 1821. Why, 200 years later, do we want to reverse the whole trend? So anyways, yes, I do not like preemptions. I mean, if they've done this, then people can already do that. There's no reason for the legislation. It's just right. People arguing just to have passed something.
Yeah, it's significantly watered down from its original starting point. I think at this point, it's a let's just do something.
Why
kind
do
of
we
bill.
Even need it?
Yeah, right. I mean, in the beginning, I understood what they were trying to accomplish. Now, I'm not too sure. Hey, tonight you guys are going to have the interview process. The three chiefs of police candidates are going to come and talk. Booker Hodges, John Orlano, and Eric Randall. This is you interviewing them, right? Is that how this is going to work? Along with the questions being asked?
No. This is I will be conducting my interviews tomorrow. I will meet all of them today and have a chance to spend about 30 minutes. That's only on personal. We're not going to be asking any other questions. It's just kind of get to know you. Hey, tell me a little bit about yourself today. Tonight's question, I'm not running. I believe Ted Kircher or somebody from HR is going to be doing that.
Okay.
But again, the questions, there were some of the questions that had come out from some of the other stuff, and then we have some questions from the public,
right?
And they will be answering, and all of it will be done virtually.
So,
but you can watch it. Anybody can
right.
watch
and
it.
And I'm looking forward to that, and looking forward to hear what you think of them after you've actually met with them personally. One of the kind of the ongoing questions, I'm just trying to wrap my brain around this whole process, and I've been frustrated about this, and you and I have disagreed about some aspects of it. Can you just clarify one part that I still do not have clarity on? The decision to begin way back at the beginning with a nationwide search, you came up with that decision. HR told you to do that. Cedric Alexander told you to do that. How did that decision happen?
We discussed that. I think Ted Kircher and Keith were interested in pursuing that area. They had in fact, they knew Tommy was leaving before I knew Tommy was leaving. They had come to me. I didn't find out Tommy was leaving until, let's put it this way. If it's internal, I'm generally the last person to know what's happening at the city. So both Keith and Ted knew about it long before I did. So when they came to me, they were wanting to go this direction. I know a long time ago, even Chris Holly wanted to do this. Now, we thought we did some of this in getting the assistant. When we went through that process and getting the assistant, that was kind of what we did. I mean, but we thought we had a significant amount of time to develop, Kevin, and move in that direction. It obviously went a significantly shorter amount of time. And again, I absolutely love Tommy and everything. I wished him. I knew he was making the right decision for him. The only comment I ever made to Tommy after he left and saying one thing was, I wish you had just told me this, because it would change the way we probably would have done. We probably would not have gone, if you want to go all the way back to the search of the deputy chief, we might have done things a little bit differently. That was when Chris was leaving. He wanted us to get a backup. I think it's a great thing to do. We've done it in other departments, and it's a great thing to do. We probably would have gone a little bit differently if we had known a little bit more directly where Tommy was going. But listen, I have no problems with where Tommy went and what he did. He did the right thing for him, and he needs to do that. And
so just to clarify,
service for the city.
One thing, you said Ted Kircher with HR, and you said Keith Wilkins, of course, your city administrator.
Yeah.
Was Cedric Alexander involved in that conversation at all?
They talked to Cedric, I guess. You'd have to talk to them.
Okay.
I was not involved in that. At the time, Cedric was obviously doing work for the police department and was talking with them. This is before. I mean, we did this before. I'm looking back as far as we've been dealing with Cedric since we've been dealing with the CPAC. So, and he'd been doing the HR planning. He'd worked with Ted. So I can't. You'd have to talk to them about what exactly happened, but they both knew probably 2 or 3 days before I knew that Tommy was leaving.
Well, and I also I did want to give you a second, because I know Davis and I, when you said your comment a moment ago about how you're the last person in the city to find out about stuff that's going on in the city, I thought maybe you wanted to clarify, because that may have came out a little bit sloppy.
it's just sometimes the way things are internally in any organization. I don't know what it is.
people generally, when it's bad news and stuff's happening, Tommy didn't turn in his resignation to me. Tommy turned his resignation into Keith and HR.
Mm-hmm.
I will say from Chris, we did have a policy of dealing with internal stuff through the administrator. We just kind of, Chris always wanted to run the internal. But these are the things that kind of end up happening like that. Usually, sometimes if it's bad news and other stuff people don't want to hear, I end up being the last one to hear on those kind of things.
Okay, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, which is, in a sense, you know, these folks are running their departments, and that should be almost the way that it is. You know, Brian Cooper should find out park stuff before you do, because that's his department. Hey, before we take a quick break, can you just make me one kind of... I think I know what your answer is going to be, and that's the only reason I'm asking the question is... I know a lot of people want to just be sure that Kevin Christman doesn't get overlooked in this process. And I know you're going to meet with these folks today.
Kevin does not get overlooked. And I've been clear with y'all at the press conferences in
good.
The sense that I've said, listen, this person has to the idea of what we're looking for is a person who will come in here and bring new ideas. That does not mean they bring everything new. There's a commitment to the people that we have here and the fact that we're trying to look for somebody to train them up and figure out how to work with them. We're not looking for somebody to bring in, their command staff and somewhere else from other places. I had a real strong talk with the lieutenants when we started this process. And I said, listen, what they said to me is, we're very concerned that this begins a position that blocks us out from any growth forward. And our whole deal is we want people to be able to grow and elevate here. So what my whole deal is, if they can't give me answers that say this today and this is our deal and they understand what we're coming up with, I'm not saying they can't bring anybody new, but I'm looking for like one person or whatever else if they feel like they've got to do something. But I'm looking for really them to work with the group that's there and figure out how to do them.
That's good. And I know we have a preference to hire local, which is, you know, that's part of the reason why I kind of like anyway. But hey, Mr. Mayor, hang on through for just a second. Go ahead. You can finish.
If they can't have Kevin as a deputy chief, then we'll move on to the next candidate. I mean,
okay.
These are things that I need to ask them. They need to answer. And if they can't answer the way I want them, then we move on to the next candidate.
All right. Well, these are all, you know, as I said, movements in the right direction. I appreciate that. Grover, hang on for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen.
And northbound Garson Point Bridge, still looking a little slow moving. Also, as you're trying to go through that light at the intersection of Avalon and Garson, seeing north and southbound delays. As a result, southbound backing up all the way to Mary Kitchens Road. Also seeing southbound Avalon delays going towards I-10, backed up almost to Moores Oak Drive. I-10, I-110 checking and clear, though. But that's not really the case for Highway 29 southbound between 9 Mile and I-10. We are seeing delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Mayor Grover Robinson. City Council and you, okay, extended the moratorium on moving the people out of that homeless camp underneath I-110. I know the homeless problem is a very challenging, multifaceted problem, and it's not just one group of people. I think the question people might have, I know I have, is that going to become some kind of a semi-permanent camp now, or are there other locations aside from a facility, aside from tiny homes, that we'd be looking at to create a space where they could camp on public land? How do we solve that problem?
I think what we're looking at is, I've tried to be very clear. Nothing the council did in the resolution is necessarily what we're continuing to administer the way we've done. We're not going to allow people to park illegally, have illegal vehicles or anything else. I appreciate that in their resolution. It's very clear. Thank you for making that your resolution. That's not what we're doing. Our whole goal is to work within what we can. We want to give people a place that they need to be if they need to be outside. We are working to try to get everybody inside. That's the goal and objective. There are a number of places in the community. You might want to get somebody on from Bright Bridges and discuss what they're trying to do. You certainly may want to get somebody on from REAP. I know Benny Wibbs and Rick Guy, and they're trying to open back up the Salvation Army place. This group that we've got in the coalition, you really may want to get John Johnson or Connie Bookman on.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working to work with them to get this group together. They obtained funding, and they're going to try to get some of these shelters back open. So the whole idea is get shelters open, get the people moved from there, and then turn it back to a park. I've been very clear. Parks are parks. They're important. We need to get them back open for the public to be able to use. We are using them in this temporary way, and until we get everything back open, yes, we're going to continue to work this way, but our whole goal is to get these things back open, shelters where we can begin to move people and figure out how we move them positively through a continuum to get something else. We are not going to be in the camping business. There are places like Chitose Forest. We believe those have a place. And if you want to go camp and that's ultimately your goal, then you need to go there. You don't need to go to the park. But right now, we are dealing with such a problem because we're dealing with a low inventory of shelter. Mm-hmm. This is a temporary need. And until we get everything back open, we're going to be experiencing this, Andrew.
Yeah, and an awful lot of that obviously driven by COVID and the restrictions that that's placed on some of the operational facilities. So, Mayor Grover Robinson, sir, always a pleasure. We look forward to talking to you next Monday at the press conference. Thanks, as always, for the time.
You take care. Thanks, Andrew.
7:50 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Wednesday to you. Happy Presidential Speech Day to you. I don't know what else can we what else can we throw in. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden does give his first address to Congress tonight. It's the eve of his first 100 days in office. Typically, when that happens, a cabinet member stays behind as the so-called designated survivor. Not tonight. Attendance is limited because of the pandemic, so all the members of the cabinet won't be there. We'll have live coverage of the speech at 8 tonight.
Did you just say no one is designated to survive the speech tonight?
That's not what I said. Stop that.
Go on.
The CDC loosening recommendations on wearing face masks. It's NBC senior medical correspondent Dr. John Torres.
What they're trying to do here is saying, okay, now we understand the science that things can open up a little bit more for those that are vaccinated because we know they can still stay safe as long as they're outdoors in small groups. Regardless of where they are or who they're with, they don't need to wear a mask.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky saying fully vaccinated people can gather in small crowds outdoors without a mask, but everyone should still wear a mask if you're in a crowded outdoor gathering.
Can so, I tell you if...
Yes
if,
and no.
If April 1st were still upcoming instead of past us, you know what would be the April 1st, the best April Fool's would be CDC comes out with new guidance saying it's okay to wear it pulled down to your chin. It's okay.
Wear it over your ears, yeah. You know, whatever.
Like the new guidance is it can expose your nose and that's perfectly fine.
Sure.
Go on.
You like bees?
No.
No?
I mean, I like honey.
Well...
I like birds, bees.
Stop it. Stop.
Okay, now I have to say one person is dead and another hurt after a bee attack in Texas. The bees swarmed from a tree at a home and sent one person into cardiac arrest and they died. Fire crews showed up and the bees swarmed all over them.
Ugh.
The hive has since been removed. Bees.
Flamethrower. No, yeah. Also, that'll teach you to ask snarky people questions. Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
If you want a good feel-good story, Michael Visakis out of Sarasota, Florida, avid golfer. As a matter of fact, never worked a job in his life other than play golf, and he's played on many tours where if he wins, he wins a few $1,000s here and there, enough to pay the bills. Well, he qualified to play in his first ever PGA Tour event, the Valspar Championship, which is just outside of Tampa. Actually, I was there the last time I was in Tampa. He qualified. He sank a 20-foot birdie in a sudden death playoff on Monday to qualify for his first ever PGA Tour event. Was so emotional, he called his dad afterwards, and has since the video has gone viral. But a really cool thing where his whole life just wanted to be a professional golfer, and he's getting his crack at it tomorrow.
All right.
He'll be teeing off around 8 o'clock our time. So I'm going to be keeping tabs on him because I always love a good underdog story. Also, Floyd Mayweather will be fighting YouTube sensation Logan Paul in Miami on June 6th. Logan's brother Jake just fought in his own boxing match against Ben Askren. A few weeks ago, he won that battle. And Conor McGregor sells his whiskey company, Proper 12, for $600 million. And this guy right here is going to be getting into the whiskey business now. Not really. I don't know anything about it other than I do enjoy it every now and then. That's your quick shot of sports. And now moving this into your traffic on the fives, because that light at the intersection of Avalon and Garzon Point Road is causing some southbound delays backed up before you even get to Mary Kitchens Road around that area. Actually, I shouldn't exaggerate too much, but it is delayed nonetheless. That's southbound. Northbound showing some minor delays, mainly as you're trying to get through the toll plaza on through through the that light. That's where we're seeing those delays there. If you're traveling along I-10/I-110, don't expect any delays. However, I am noticing delays along Olive Road eastbound, backed up all the way to Cody Lane if you're trying to head towards Davis Highway, and University Parkway showing delays as you're trying to go southbound to Davis Highway, backed up almost to East Johnson Avenue. I'm Davis Allen with the Traffic on the Fives.
.759 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. USA Today allowed Stacey Abrams to go back and edit an opinion piece she wrote in which she called for and endorsed boycotts after Major League Baseball pulled the All-Star Game out of Atlanta. They allowed her to go back and edit her column to make it seem like she hadn't called for the very boycotts that were affecting her state. I have never seen anything as Orwellian as that from a major news organization, no less.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola. It's 8 o'clock.
An indictment returned in the murder of a Santa Rosa County teenager. Still no arrests in a mass shooting at Oakwood Terrace. And what may be the final extension of a state of emergency in Florida over COVID-19.